Alec turned back into the room with a frown between his black brows. Is something the matter? Hadrian swallowed and nodded, and indicated the dressing stool. Please sit, sir. It would be better, sir, if you were seated. Alec didn't move. Can't this wait until after I... No, sir, I need to talk to you now before you go off. We have about an hour until the men gather at the stables. We do? Yes, sir, I got you up early so we could have this talk. Alec took a step forward. You what? Please sit, sir. No wonder Phillips and Putnam dashed out of here. Yes, sir. Alec sat on the padded dressing stool and waited. And then his valet further surprised him. Instead of telling him whatever was on his mind that could not wait, Hadrian crossed to the door which led to the servant's stairs and passageway into which the two attendants had vanished. Out of the darkness emerged the last person Alec expected to see. Tam came into the room. He and Hadrian spoke in hushed tones by the closed servant door. And then they both came to stand before Alec. If a feather had been to hand and he'd been prodded with it, Alec was certain he'd have fallen off the stool. Seeing these two together, and at such close quarters, and being amicable, was almost too much for his dull brain to comprehend at this time of the morning. But his overwhelming feeling was one of relief that the two young men were no longer at loggerheads, and it put him in a charitable mood to listen to whatever it was they wanted to speak to him about, even if it meant he'd been tricked out of an hour of much-needed sleep. But first he had to ask the question. How are the Turners?
Not bearing up at all, sir,
Tam responded, pushing the red curls out of his eyes and pulling on the points of his dark blue linen waistcoat. He looked to have dressed in a hurry, as if he had only remembered at the last moment that he needed to be somewhere before dawn. That he shifted from foot to foot was indication of his nervousness.
I gave Mrs. Turner a draught of laudanum, and I gave her enough that I'm hoping she'll sleep most of the day away. She'll wake thinking yesterday was a bad dream. But it wasn't, and I've no doubt she'll feel worse, and curse me for interfering with her grief.
And Mr. Turner?
Tam shook his head. He says he doesn't need anything. And as he wants to be the one to retrieve poor Hugh from the wood, it's best he keeps a clear head. Though I see his suffering is no less than hers.
And Hugh's brother, forgive me, what's his name?
Roger, sir. Roger's not been seen since before dinner. And as the Turners are in no fit state to be asked, and no one wants to upset them further by telling them their other son is now missing too, we're hoping he'll return in his own good time.
Truth told, he's probably hiding out of the laundry. That's where he spends his time. He's keen on one of the laundry maids. But that's for another day. Perhaps a servant should be sent to the laundry to check on him.
I did that before I came here, sir.
Thank you. The boy should be with his parents at this time. And we can only hope that a search of the wood yields them some answers. Though I'm afraid nothing is going to heal their grief.
Yes, sir. And it won't.
My cousin Hugh was a bit of a rascal, but he had a huge heart. And he was his mother's favourite. He believed in what Mr. Halsey calls causes. He didn't like the hunt and he wanted it outlawed. And he cared what happened to the itinerants who scavenged in the wood.
Do you have any idea who would want to harm him?
No, sir. Everyone liked Hugh. He was likeable. Now, if it had been my cousin Roger...
Tam shrugged.
But no, I've no idea who'd want to do Hugh a harm, least of all kill him. Or his friends from the village, for that matter. There's plenty of below-stairs gossip, hoping it's all been a misunderstanding and he'll be found alive, but that's wishful thinking.
Yes, I'm afraid it is.
I've no reason to doubt Adams has identified the body as Hugh's, have you?
No, sir, none.
Everyone from around here knows, I mean, knew Hugh. When Tam glanced at Hadrian and Alec remained mute, waiting for either of the two young men to speak, Tam added apologetically, But we're not here to talk to you about Hugh or Roger, sir, or the Turner's grief for that matter.
Aren't you? Then what is it I can do for you?
Do for you both.
It's not what you can do for us, sir, Tam replied, a glance at the valet. But what we can do for you.